Great to see you. You should have the handout, which is Lesson 13, Recognizing the Roles, Lesson 13, Rite of Passage. We got started on that last week, and we'll finish it this week. You also should have, if you want to, another opportunity to vote for Life of David, as you know. But let me just tell you that you can vote twice, or if you've already voted, you don't have to vote. But let me just tell you, from last week, just point totals, Life of David had 266 points. And then Paul the Apostle had 167. So Apostle Paul is 100 behind. So if you'd like Paul before David, you'd have to stack the deck today or whatever. But anyway, so far it looks like, and I just wanted to hand them out just to give people a chance to vote if they didn't get to vote last time or something. But it looks like we might do Life of David, but we'll just see what all comes in after all this. Well, let's start with a prayer. As you know, we're toward the end. We got one more lesson after this. We're looking at what we call recognizing the roles of husband, wife, parents, children, the whole idea of premarital stuff, postmarital stuff, just all kind of different things. This little section is dealing with what we call rite of passage. What are some things we can do with big events in our children's lives that we can plug into that and help them go on to maturity, you know, and we call it rite of passages and all kind of things like that. I had three big things that we, and if you want to just, Psalm 127 is sort of the verse where we started on last week. But there were three things we looked at in this study. One, the impact parents have on both same and opposite sex children. In other words, what influence does a parent have over, if you're a dad, what influence do you have over your son? What influence do you have over your daughter? If you're a mama, what influence do you have over your daughter? What influence do you have over your son? We talked about that last week, and that's huge. Then, the rite of passage for son and rite of passage for daughter is what we're going to go over this morning. And this is where I want to need your help, because these are things that I thought about. These are things I read about. But there may be some things you did or have done or want to do, which we can tie in with this, and so we'll talk about it as we get to it. Let's start with prayer, and then we'll get into the study. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you again for allowing us to come together. Thank you for your grace, mercy, and love to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have given to us eternal life as a gift simply by faith. Thank you, Lord, that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we become children of God, and we're in the family of God. And then, Lord, based on your word, you have certain things for us to do, especially when we think about family and husband and wife and parents and children and all these different things. And so, Lord, thank you for our study that show us from your word the things that we're to do. Lord, help us as we think about this morning just the impact not only the parents have on the children, but then the whole rite of passage and for the son and the daughter and all of those things. Lord, may we understand it. May we be ready to help our families, to help each other. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We said, and if you want to just go through the next slide or two, we talked about parents' impact on same-sex and opposite-sex children. That's where we stopped. Rite of passage for boys, rite of passage for girls. We talked about Psalm 127, realize children are a gift from God. Then we listed again the big three things we're going to talk about. Then we talked about the impact, if you want to go to the next slide. And then the next one, but basically we said this, for a son to his mother, from birth to puberty, he can have a great relationship with his mama, be close to her, all those kind of things. Then at puberty, if it goes on, I think, at puberty he begins to identify with his dad. So what we've learned from this, next slide, a son from his mother understands and appreciates a woman, sees her special. Son from his father understands being a man and sees a special role. Then we looked at the daughter, and from birth to puberty, she can identify with her dad. She's dad's, you know, little girl, all those kind of things. But at puberty, then she begins to identify with her mother. And so what we saw last time, and the next slide, the daughter from her father understands love, strength, and protection. The daughter from her mother understands being a woman and those kind of things. And we said it's very vital, important that in a family that there's the mama and the daddy, and that the daddy, that the son sees what a woman is like, what a mama is like, how that ties in, and then sees what a dad is like. And then vice versa, it's great that the daughter sees what a daddy's like and a man, and then identifies with a mama. We then said, here's the problem. And I told y'all this, and let me just restate it. When I was at Dallas Seminary in 1981-82, I was taking a class from Dr. Myers and Dr. Minerith, who have the largest, even now, they have the largest Christian psychiatric hospitals in the world. They do. They're all over. And they taught at Dallas Seminary, and I ended up actually being one of their graders. They would give tests. I graded the papers and stuff for them, so I worked for them. I got to talk to them, and in the class, they really emphasized something. They said, you won't see it right now, but you'll see it in 20 years. This is what they said. We all said, what are you talking about? In 20 years, they said, you will see a rise in homosexuality and abuse. And we all just sat there and said, what are you talking about? He said, here's why. He said, because we talked about the daddy and the mama and how important the daddy is in the relationship to the daughter and to the son, how important the mama is in relationship to the son and the daughter, and what happens and with the no-fault divorce that came out and how things are moving and how so much the rise in divorce has caused the father to be taken out of the home in a lot of instances. So what happens, and we talked about it last week, and let me just throw it up there. Sons without dads, what are they like? Well, they have anger toward women a lot of times. I'm not saying this is every time or anything. We're saying that when a guy grows up without any kind of dad influence and he's been basically bossed by his mother all his life, he's not had a man to identify with, sometimes, many times, these men have anger toward women because they're tired and they say, I'm tired of some woman telling me what to do. And they take that out on women in the future. So there's anger toward women. The second thing is that happens so many times is the homosexuality thing, because there's no man to identify with. The only thing you've ever identified with is the woman. And oftentimes, many times, and Dr. Meyer, Dr. Minister said, you're going to see abuse. Men are going to be angry. There's going to be so much more abuse toward women. And then you're going to see a rise in homosexuality. That's what we've seen. In the flip side, when you look at it with the daughter without a dad, what happens when she doesn't see that dad? If you look at the next slide, she's looking for the love of a father in a lot of places. And we see a rise in promiscuity. We see girls having sex to find love because they never saw that love of a daddy. And there's a guy in Oklahoma City that's a psychiatrist, and I got some information from him some years ago, and he has a whole study called Father Love. And he says there are many, many young girls that are looking for the love of a father, but they're looking in the wrong place. And then also, without that daddy, and they don't know what a man is like, and so they're drawn to homosexuality on the other side. And what Dr. Meyer and Dr. Minnis said in 1981, 82, what do we see today? A huge rise in abuse and a huge rise in homosexuality. When you take a daddy out of the family, and that's what happens a lot of the times. Now, let me say another thing. Dad can be in the family, but he can be a passive man. If you have an uninvolved father in the family, you can have problems like this. So all I wanted to say is it's very important that when people say things like, you don't need a father in a family, you can have two women and just get a baby somehow, and they could, you know, that doesn't work. And you can say, you can have two men, just get a baby somehow. It's God planned that a man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh, and you have that family unit of a mother and a father, and as they bring those children up, it is vital and important that the mom and the daddy fulfill their roles. So I just wanted to throw that out. And we talked about that last week. Any questions, comments, input? I don't have any answers, but let me just say, yeah.
What about the opposite? Well, you don't have that
on here. No, but because that's much rarer.
Right.
That's much rarer. They didn't really highlight that as much. But you know, without a mama, it is really hard when that dad's trying to bring up that girl and doesn't know what to tell her, and what, especially when puberty hits and those kind of things. He doesn't know what's going on, right? I don't know as much the other opposite. I mean, whether we'll say because there's no mama, there's going to be the homosexuality, and there's going to be that. They didn't talk about that as much. It was mostly with the dad was out. You don't see as many families without a mama's influence, but you see a lot of families without a daddy's influence. Right, right. And you've done amazing. I mean, you're an amazing man, though. I mean, this guy is an incredible man. I mean, you're busy, you travel a lot of places, but your boys turned out pretty good, didn't they? Yeah, they did. Good man. What do you give us some input. What do you think in bringing up your sons without a mom? How did you try to compensate for that, so to speak? Or what did you do, or did you do anything?
It was kind of tough. I just wanted to be sure that there was good Christian women around, so I always wanted to make sure they were in church and they could see teachers were that way too.
Mm-hmm. So they had an influence, a good influence from some Christian women in the church and their teachers and your mom being there as well. Yeah.
And it's not that their mom wasn't involved. I mean, you know, Texas, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And since that time, Christ-loving church, and got much more active in her prayer life and involved in the Boys and Advocacy too.
So she was in their life some, not as much as if,
right.
But they turned out great, great boys, yeah. In spite of you, they turned out great. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. Anything else? Because once again, I will not be able to answer the question. But anyway, if you want to ask. Yeah. Okay, let's do this. That we talked about special days. Now, I put five special days in the life of our kids. We're calling this rite of passage because the idea is our kids grow up. There are special events in their life that maybe we could use those special events to highlight the fact of their Christianity, their faith in Christ, that maybe to highlight ways that they can go into maturity or grow. And so I came up, and this is just me, and you may think of something else, and if you think of something else, let me know. But think about when they reach puberty or when they get their driver's license, they graduate from high school, they graduate from college, or they get married. Those are five. I just thought of those. You may think of something else as we go through this. If you think of something else, let me know. What I also tried to do is thinking about, okay, in each one of these events in their lives, what would be a good thing to do? And some of you have already gone through this, and you say, well, here's what we did. When they did this, this is what we did. And so let's, you know, and if it's different than what I got, I'm gonna write it down because I'm gonna use it and say, here's different things that people have done historically in these events. So let's just start with the son. Okay? Let's think of special days in the son, in the life of a boy, a little boy, and let's think of how we can help these times and events that we can plug in. Let's start just the whole idea of puberty. Here's a guy, all of a sudden he starts changing. This time dad can get with the son and you know, he can start saying, you know, because the guy's body's changing, everything's changing. Your friends are telling you one thing. I remember when I first had a little beard, a little, you know, and I'm going, God, I got a mustache, you know. And I said, Daddy, I think we need to shave this. He said, okay, let's shave it. So he shaved it. I said, how long do you think it'll take? It'll come back. Well, how long did it take to come the first time? And I went, like 13 years, 12 years? Is it going to wait? No, he said it won't be that long. You know, so, you know, your dad was there, and he was there on that. And some people say maybe get him off on a special trip. Maybe even several dads and several young guys all going through this at the same time go off on a camping trip or something and talk about what it means to be a man. Talk about what's happening to them. Talk about what's changing them. Robert Lewis is a pastor. And he's written several books, but he took his son through James Dobson's series called Preparing for Adolescence. I'm not sure whether we have it in our library or not. If we do, but it's probably on VHS, isn't it? If anybody would like to buy the new series, we could take it. But anyway, that's in there. But here's one of the things. Robert Lewis said he and his son sat down and they came up with the definition of a man. Here he is. He's 12 or 13 years old. He's changing. And his daddy says, what is a man? What is a man? And so a man is someone who rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, leads courageously, and expect great rewards, God and reward. You know, because what we see in our culture, men are pretty passive sometimes. And you know why? Because in their jobs, a lot of times they're not passive. They work and 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 they struggle and they push and they do all this stuff and they do all these things, fly over here and come back over here and do this business. And when they get home, they say, I'm out of gas, and they're passive. And men have to be careful about that because we just, you know. And so a man is someone who rejects passivity and accepts responsibility and leads courageously. That is the definition that they came up with. And here's an idea. Y'all tell me what you think. One of the things that some have done is at this point in their life, maybe they're given a ring like this, say, son, here's a ring for you to wear until you get married. And it's maybe a cross ring, whatever. And say, this is you as a man of God, a man committed to purity until you're married. That's a possibility. What, anybody got any other suggestions at what you did with your children or with your son or sons? Or anybody got any input on this? Thanks a lot. But anyway, so a good one might be that when a kid gets 12, 13, when they begin to change, maybe a ring that says, remind who you are. Maybe going with dad and some other guys and saying, let's talk about what a man really is, and we're going to watch you begin to grow to be a godly man. Okay? The second thing was driver's license. And a lot of people don't even mention that, but I think it's huge. I think it's huge because every time I talk to young people, they say things like, I'm getting my license next week. And that's when I say, well, I'm not driving anymore then. You know, if you got your license. But today, somebody came up to me and said, I'm getting my license next week. Isn't that a big moment? What does it do to a person when they get their license? It does what? Gives them freedom, more freedom than they've ever had. And it really helps you because you can say, why don't you go to the store and get some milk because you don't want to go, and your kid, he'll be loving to drive, right? Anytime they get a chance to drive, they'll do it. It's powerful, but let me tell you what, it is a great opportunity to say, you have been given great freedom, but with this freedom goes what? Responsibility. This car is dangerous. Yes. Right.
I found the greatest place to talk about development of your relationships and everything is in the car at night. You know why?
Yeah.
It doesn't embarrass them. You're not looking at them.
Okay, so they're like in the back seat or something and it's dark?
Yeah, and you just start the conversation and it's a great way. They will ask you questions in that car in the dark that they would never want to ask you face to face. And we've had some talks there that would absolutely, you know, bowl you over.
Yeah.
And the thing that I always found to say to my kids is, you cannot ask me anything that will embarrass me.
Right.
You cannot ask me anything that I will not find an answer for if I don't already
right.
know it. But the car was a great vehicle.
And you were glad you were in the dark too, weren't you? That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, I really didn't really bother
yeah,
me,
I,
but you know
but
me.
I know.
But I just found that a great way to convert.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah.
Because, you know, they can't get away from you. They're in the car.
Right.
And, you know, it's amazing because then you can just discuss all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And if I were to tell you some of my actual examples, you'd just die.
I would, yeah. Well, maybe we better hold up on that, Bonita. Okay. I think with the driver's license and that point in their life, as Bonita said a while ago, it gives them great freedom, but it gives them tremendous responsibility. And I think they need to understand that a car is a weapon. It'll kill a lot of people. And they need to understand the car is not some fun toy. It's dangerous. I mean, think about the weight and the power and the speed. And so I think that especially with a boy, you say, listen, you got a car, but this is not a toy. You know, it's not. It's a privilege to drive. Not everybody should get to drive. Be real honest with you. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Our son purchased his own car when he became 16. Mm-hmm. And he had a wreck that night. All two pieces. What was left was a
hubcap. All that was left was a hubcap.
Hubcap in his bedroom.
So did he get another car later?
Yes,
took a while, didn't it?
Yeah.
There's a great aspect of requiring them to help pay for that first car, especially.
Yes.
Especially when they're a little bit younger and they start thinking about being able to drive. And you say, well, if you'd like to start saving some of your allowance, you start getting a part-time job, if you start wanting to do this, we can put some of your money back. Maybe I'll help match it for you. That's what Dave Ramsey always said. He told his kids that he would match. You know, if they came up with $1,000, he would match it, and they'd go buy a car for $2,000 or whatever they came up with over the years. And so, that's big to me. Now, let's think about it. What's something special? Because I think just giving them a car is dangerous. I think, and without telling them the responsibility part. I used to make this joke about Catherine. She's not here. She's running a half marathon, so I can say this. I always said that Catherine never knew that you're supposed to slow down for a turn. She just went around curves. And I said, honey, you could slow down, you know, especially if I'm over here on the passenger side. But anyway, they did good. They've done great, and Sarah's done great. But what would you say that like? Like, let's say at puberty, you give them a purity ring. What can you do when they get a driver's license? Can you think of anything? I mean, I had put down here that maybe a special day or a trip with Dad, that they might go on a weekend trip or a special day in which they go somewhere together, maybe even the guy's driving, and they talk about responsibility as a man, responsibility driving a car, responsibility of the danger that it is. Because most people, when you first start driving, you're like this. And then in about a week and a half, you're like this. You're low riding and you're just having a great time. You know, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't even have to hold the wheel. Yeah. Or you get one of those deals, you just whip it around like this, you know? And of course, those, you know, things are up here. There's like, I've watched this. I don't know what this deal is, but now there's like 1,000 things hanging down from the mirror on these cars nowadays, you know? Can't see. If you look over this way, oh, you got a blind spot because everything's covering the whole side. You can't even see your passenger. Okay, so what would you do? Anybody got any ideas other than a special, maybe a special trip or something? Huh?
How about a key to go on the car key ring? It says God is the one who's going to...
Okay, so a key to go with the keys.
With the car keys.
And it says God is the one to keep you safe. Okay, that's a great idea. I'm going to put this down, just maybe a special key to go with the other keys. Yeah, or a keychain. Okay, did you get a keychain? You did? What, so when you got your first call, your dad, what did he do? Tell me what he did.
He just gave it to me and said, hey, not so much.
Right. So, right, and be careful driving, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been teaching me to drive.
Mm-hmm. So the keychain with the key in it that kind of marked it off as well. That's good. Let me put key and keychain. I'm going to write that down. I'll be back in just a second. Key. Hey. Okay.
When our son was 16, Larry bought him an old...
That doesn't surprise me.
It had wheels, but that's bad.
No fenders.
Our girls who were, you know, younger than Barry, but in junior high, Barry was in high school. They said, we're not. We are not. So after about a week after school, they asked Barry if they could ride with him. And he said, sure. And they did that for a whole year.
Oh, my gosh. Because he had the only way to get there, huh? And they said they weren't going to ride in that thing. Wow. When I was growing up in Mississippi, you could get a learner's permit at 14 and a half and a driver's license at 15. So I had my driver's license at 15. I had a 1956 Ford Fairlane 500 four-door. Couldn't tear it up. One time I was driving, and I had a girlfriend and a couple in the back, and she turned around and said something to him. She hit the steering column and knocked it into park while we're going down a hill at about 40 miles an hour. That car went, argh. I thought, what in the world happened? I realized it was in park. I said, you just knocked the car in park. So what do you think we did? Put it in neutral, cranked it, and just drove off. All right, good stuff. All right, let's look at the third one. We're not going to get very far, are we? All right, let's look at the graduation from high school. And once again, that is a big moment in your life. That's a big moment in your life. This is a big time. We honor high school. You know, at our church, we honor high school graduates. We bring them right up there and clap and cheer and give them a Bible and things. This is a time, I think, in which they begin to make decisions apart from their parents. The parents won't have the same influence. This is when character's going to come into play because they may be moving out of the house they may be going off to college. They may be taking a job somewhere. This is when you talk about, listen, we're not going to always be there. That's one of the reasons I think it's so amazing to see the college kids come, you know, start school year. We'll have 500 or 600 college students here. Nobody's telling them to come to church. Nobody's making them to come to church. Nobody's waking them up to come to church. They're coming because they're choosing to come, and I think it's a big deal. So graduation from high school, I think, is a big deal. I thought of this. I thought maybe then, and of course our church already does this, so we probably wouldn't do it ourselves. Our church gives them a Bible, but I just thought maybe graduating from high school, maybe the mom and daddy could give them a special Bible. With some information in there saying, you know, you're growing up and in reality, some people, they're grown right then. They go off, get jobs, and go on with their lives. More and more people, our culture's changing. More and more people are making it later and later and later to go on. In fact, so many are going to college and then coming back and living at home for a while. And so we're seeing that. But so what would be something good to mark off for our Christian kids when they graduate from high school? What could we say, this is a big step in your life? What could we do for them? Give them a special gift Bible or something like that. Or maybe I got maybe a special meal and giving them the Bible or something like that. What do you think? Did y'all do anything with your kids?
We didn't have children, but we had nieces and nephews. Every one of our nieces and nephews, as they graduated, gave them each a Bible with their
mm-hmm.
And these came to know the
Lord. Really?
He was not ready.
Wow. So you gave a gift Bible with their name on it to your nieces and nephews.
Right.
But if it had been your child, you might have done the same thing. What anybody, any other input? So what are you going to do? Have anybody got their kids about to graduate from high school? Do what?
Just tear up their paper plate.
Their paper plate. Okay, let's go graduate from college. Wow, that's a big deal too, isn't it? How many parents are so thankful when they graduate from college? Cha-ching, baby. Cha-ching, paying for that college. I put down that, I mean, this is big because they're really on their own there. They should get a job and do something, right? I put down maybe like a special weekend, an event at graduation, something really special, marking it off, beginning a new chapter in life, establishing their own life. What did any of y'all do at college graduation for your kids? Huh? New car. I don't think so. Larry can help get you a car. Right? It won't have any fenders, wheels, or anything, but you've got, he's got one, he'll get you. Yeah. Yeah. A new car. Okay. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So, I don't know. What else? Anything? I know we're past time, so let's go ahead and get the last one. Okay? Let's get the last one, and then we'll get the daughters next time. How about a marriage? You know, I put down, this is big. For the man, his idea of his commitment and his love for the special woman, he's going to love her the rest of his life. I put down maybe a special time before the wedding with his groomsmen, maybe a special night or something. They're there, the prayer, the encouragement to be a godly husband and godly father. All of those kind of things come into play. Did anybody do anything differently? Or did anybody do anything? Y'all are a big help. Nobody wants to be in the book, right? Is that the deal? Okay. It's just hard, isn't it, to think about things we can do that can mark it off. But I've seen some really special times, because I've done 262 weddings. I've seen some really special times that the dad and the son and the groomsmen and other things have special time together, in which they're really emphasizing you're about to change another whole chapter in life. You're going to be the father, you're going to be the head of this home. You're going to lead the wife and the kids to come later. Those kind of things. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Next week what we'll do is we'll do the daughter. And there's a few things that might be a little bit different there. Y'all can give me some input on that. And then, Lord willing, it won't take us that long to go through that because you don't have anything to say. I can tell you that now. And then what we'll do is we'll go ahead and get lesson 14, which is the last lesson, which I've entitled it Hedges. And we'll talk about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you, Lord, for all the different things we've talked about. Lord, we realize that in the life of our children, there are key events that happen, life of guys and girls. And whether it's puberty or getting their driver's license or graduating from high school or college or getting married, all those things. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to think of things that we can do that mark off these special times, especially mark off in a Christian way in which we can tell them that this is a special time in their lives that they can continue to grow toward being more and more like Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for great families in our church that have done so many wonderful things, have raised such great children. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray that as we continue in this study, that we will be godly men and women living according to the Scripture so that we can have families and children and mamas and daddies and parents and all of these things, that we can be the way you want us to be. living according to the Scripture, the Word of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll finish that and get on to the next one next week.